Chapter 6, Sowing Seeds of Truth in Love. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. Ephesians 4:15. The gardener had excused himself to return his things, so I stretched and soaked up the afternoon sunlight. But as I enjoyed the moment, the healing of my wounds also gave me the luxury of noticing just how badly I smelled and how dirty my clothes were. What was insignificant just hours before now felt embarrassing. It also occurred to me in that moment that the gardener looked really young. How could he be so young and strong, yet old enough to have met John so long ago and given him the bag of seeds? I was still puzzling over this when the gardener returned with a wrapped bundle in one hand and his pruning shears in the other. Tossing the bundle towards the base of a tree, he climbed his ladder and resumed his work, not saying a word or even looking at me. Limbs began to fall to the ground steadily as he moved with meticulous focus. After a minute or two, I suddenly became aware of myself just standing there staring awkwardly. For some reason, my heart longed to stay here and talk with him, but he was so focused and purposeful. I also didn't want to interrupt him or keep him from his work. What should I do? To leave felt strange, and it wasn't what I wanted. But to stay meant interrupting him again. And for what? He had already done more than I could have asked or expected. Eventually, I decided to say something. I wasn't exactly sure what. Sir, I said quietly. No response. Sir, again more confidently this time, I'm new here and not sure where to go, or really even what to do. I was wondering if you could help me. It sounded really lame, but it's what came out, and it was honest. Why did you come here? He asked, without hesitation, as he continued to work. I came hoping to make something of myself and be free to make my own choices, I answered. I thought I knew what I was doing, but now I realize I don't. I'm more lost in the land of freedom than when I was home, and I think I've experienced more pain here than anywhere. The man didn't answer at first. It looked like his attention was on a particular branch, deciding whether or not to cut it off. He studied it for a few more seconds and then decided to leave it alone. Coming down the ladder, he put the shears over his shoulder and walked to where I was standing. Now we're getting somewhere, he said. It was the first time I'd seen him smile, and a wave of something like pure joy went through me for the first time in my life. I think you're ready to plant a few of those seeds. How could I be ready? I asked. All I've done is get myself lost and keep you from your work. You're ready because you know you're lost, he said, and I only help those who know they're lost. Now listen to what I say and follow my instructions. That bundle I tossed at the base of the tree, take it with you and head that way down to the river. As he said it, he pointed in a particular direction. You'll run into a freshwater creek about halfway down. Wash up, get changed, and then plant a handful of your seeds down by the river. I'll be here when you get back. Yes, sir, I said quickly, not wasting a second. With the bundle over my shoulder, I sped through the garden, weaving between trees and jumping over shrubs and flower beds. It felt great to run again and to grip something without searing pain in my hands. John was right. This land of freedom was not what I expected. I reached the creek within minutes, breathless and shaky, but I didn't care. I was glad to be alive, healed, joyful, totally lost, yet somehow full of hope, even though I didn't know what tomorrow would bring. Peeling off my grimy clothes, I stuck a toe in the water. It was icy cold. And for a split second, I couldn't decide, go torturously slow an inch at a time, or jump in and get it over with. Of course, everyone knows it's better to just jump, and that's what I did. Every inch of my skin was numb in seconds, and I came up out of the water sputtering and hollering, but something had happened. Something old was washed away, and I felt new. It wasn't until I was out of the water, looking at my dirty old clothes, that I thought, oh no, I would rather go around naked than climb back into that. I stood shivering for a few seconds, unsure of what to do, when it dawned on me to open the bundle. Inside were brand new clothes, exactly my size, as well as shoes. This was incredible. I whispered a quick prayer of blessing over my new friend, who somehow knew exactly what I needed before I even knew I needed it. Then I was off to the river to sow some seeds. As I stepped out of the woods into the clearing next to the river, I wasn't sure what exactly I was supposed to do. The man's instructions weren't detailed. Plant a handful of your seeds down by the river, he had said. So I walked within a few feet of the water's edge, reached into my leather sack, and pulled out a handful of seeds. They were larger and heavier than I had expected. Shiny, golden seeds, larger and rounder than popcorn seeds, but with an unusual weight to them. Now that I was holding them, I could literally feel their value. It seemed as though anything could come out of the ground from these seeds. Unsure of where to dig or how deep to dig, I treated them the way I would have planted carrot or tomato seeds back home, poking holes about 6 or so inches deep in the dirt below the smooth gravel. I placed a seed in each hole and then covered them up with loose soil. Was I supposed to water them? He didn't say to, and the river was bitter and dirty, so I figured it was best to only do as instructed. With that task finished, I headed back the way I had come, past the creek, towards the garden.